Today on Straight Talk Africa, the 25th African Union Summit is over. We'll discuss and analyze what the meeting accomplished, or whether, as observers say, it was more on style and less on substance. That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, June 17th. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the significance of the recent African Union Summit held in Johannesburg.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share some thoughts from our audience who had a lot to say on the topic via emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, African leaders wrestled with several persistent issues at the summit: regional security and Africa's long-term development goals, pledging to fulfill Agenda 2063 plan with its official theme, marking the year of women's empowerment. My colleague, Paul Sisko, has more.
The summit in Johannesburg opened, as they all do, with hope and ceremony. South African President Jacob Zuma hosted the event.
The 25th Ordinary Summit of the African Union provides us the specific opportunity to express our resolve on the challenges and opportunities Africa is experiencing.
The official theme at the gathering of African leaders was the Year of Women's Empowerment and Development. Angelina Jolie was speaking in her capacity as Special Envoy to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees.
There is a global epidemic of violence against women, both within conflict zones and within societies at peace. You can make protecting and empowering women the priority that it has to be.
Noted attendees at the summit included the Republic of Congo's president, Deni Sassou Nguesso, Nigeria's newly elected president, Muhammadu Buhari, and provoking international concern and controversy, Sudan's president, Omar al-Bashir. Bashir is wanted by the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity in Darfur. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
We have supported the efforts of the ICC, who have issued a warrant for arrest against President Bashir. And we have encouraged African countries and other countries who are signatories to the ICC to turn him over for prosecution. Those people who were the victims of genocide and others who have suffered in Sudan deserve the opportunity to get justice.
Despite a South African court order, Bashir was granted the same immunity all summit attendees received, and the Sudanese president attended several events unhindered. And he arrived back in Khartoum Monday to cheers of support. Other issues discussed at the summit: economic development, security concerns, and a worsening African refugee situation. The AU called for the postponement of Burundi's July 15th presidential election and negotiations between President Pierre Nkurunziza's government and opposition groups opposed to the third-term bid.
Well, we are very, very concerned about the situation, the ongoing situation in Burundi. Our policy is clear. We do not support presidents seeking to extend their period in office by changing the constitution. For democracy to thrive, we think there should be change of governments, transitions in governments on a regular basis.
Robert Mugabe is serving his seventh term as president of Zimbabwe and has been in power there since 1980. And as this year's chairman of the African Union, he closed the summit, pledging the AU will defeat militant extremists by confronting terrorists collectively and pressing for dialogue to resolve intrastate conflicts. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests: Rosemary Seguero,
founder and chief executive of Hope for Tomorrow, an international non-governmental organization founded in 2008. Its goal is to provide education and advocacy support for human rights, women's rights, and the prevention of conflict and violence. And Reverend Dr. Isaac Mwase, founding president of the Friends of Baptist in Zimbabwe, a non-profit organization founded in 2002. Its mission is to support Baptists and the disadvantaged among the people of Zimbabwe as they deal with the economic challenges. He previously served as a professor of bioethics and philosophy at Tuskegee University in the southern U.S. state of Alabama. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. But before we begin today's discussion, let's get an update on what transpired during the AU summit. And for that, I am joined by my colleague Anita Powell, Voice of America's Southern Africa correspondent, who joins us via Skype from Johannesburg, the city of gold. Good evening, Anita.
Hi, Shaka. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. I know that, of course, you've covered the summit and you have covered several other summits before. How would you compare and contrast the 25th summit with the previous ones that you attended?
That's a great question, Shaka. Now, I have to make the distinction that the summits that I covered before in Addis Ababa were before the Arab Spring. And what's essential about that point is I feel that the summits from 2007 to 2009 that I covered were extremely open compared to this one. There were a lot of issues at this summit that I feel were very sensitive. We're talking about Burundi. We're talking about the process in South Sudan. We're talking about the presence of Omar al-Bashir. And simply put, there were leaders who I've spoken to many times in the past at summits, one-on-one, who were very forthcoming, who just were not at this summit. I think there's definitely been a closing of that space, and leaders were extremely reluctant to talk to the media. And we were, of course, the only, you know, impartial observers there. So by refusing to talk to the media, they were essentially refusing to talk to all of you who are watching.
So what do you think was the dynamic, was the reason behind this particular summit, which you characterize as having actually been quote-unquote closed, as compared to previous ones, which you say were more open?
Well, there was a lot of tension. On the first official day when all the heads of state arrived, the opening ceremony was delayed by 5 hours. And what we heard, the scuttlebutt that we heard in the corridor, was that all of the heads of state were locked up on the fifth floor discussing what to do with Omar al-Bashir. And how to handle the fact that he was there. I think that was a really sensitive situation that they felt the need to discuss privately, and that led to this tension in the air.
In fact, Anita, there has been a lot of complaints from the African audience that the Western media tended to focus on the issue of Sudanese President Omar Bashir with the ICC, as opposed, perhaps in their view, to the more important issues which were discussed in Johannesburg. How do you react to that?
Well, as I said, that really did dominate a lot of the workings of the summit. They were locked up upstairs talking about Omar al-Bashir. It was definitely a focus for the African leaders who were there. The few who did talk to us brought it up. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma brought it up. Robert Mugabe brought it up. And in South Africa, where we already have quite a tense political atmosphere, it was huge news. So I'm afraid it did hijack, for lack of a better word, the proceedings of the summit. And also, to be fair, the other issues that they were talking about, Burundi, the crisis in South Sudan, women's empowerment, and the migration crisis that we're seeing now off the coast of Libya, these are not problems with easy solutions. These are not problems with quick solutions. And so they're not maybe as attractive or as easy to explain as, this guy is here, has an arrest warrant, what are we going to do?
So, Anita, besides the issue of Omar Bashir, if someone were to ask you, really, what would you think was the highlight, really, of the summit, what would you say?
Right. Well, I think that would be obvious, Shaka. It was the dazzling, impressive, and beautiful presence of American movie star Angelina Jolie, who made a really frank and moving appeal to end gender violence around the world, especially in Africa. I will say, actually, she was on a panel with a lot of distinguished women, including the Sierra Leonean UN representative on this issue. And some of them made some really excellent points. But of course, we were all dazzled by her beauty and by the fact that she even bothered to come. So I would say that that was definitely the highlight.
Yeah, the Sierra Leonean lady was perhaps Mrs. Bangula.
That's exactly who I was thinking of, yes. And she told some brutal stories about the way that women are treated, both in Africa and around the world. And they were just really, really devastating stories. And they were worth hearing. It was good that they were out there in that forum.
What about what you'd characterize as the low lights during the summit, Anita?
I think you've already brought that up, Shaka. I mean, quite obviously, to our audience and also to those of us who were covering it, it was this tension over Omar al-Bashir's presence. It was frankly awkward. I mean, we had journalists running around the building trying to find out where he was at any given moment because we weren't sure if he was going to stay in South Africa or fly away. So
What about the issue of Zimbabwean President Robert Gabriel Mugabe being the chairman of the 25th African Union Summit? There is a lot, of course, of criticism and opposition to him, especially against him from the West. But it looks like he's also loved a lot by people on the continent. Did you notice that?
Right. Well, as you know, the reputation that Robert Mugabe enjoys in this part of it, right. Well, he's seen very differently in some parts of this continent. I think it's really worth remembering that he was jailed for 11 years. He was a liberation fighter. He's the first post-independence leader of Zimbabwe, and he stood up to a powerful force. That's the British. And so it does make sense that a lot of people see him, especially other African leaders, as a first among equals, as a leader, as a visionary. And I think he does enjoy that reputation. As for the fact that he is the AU chairman, it can get interesting sometimes because, as you know, sometimes his positions on AU issues differ from the AU's official position. He wasn't really clear on what he thought about Burundi, but he didn't seem to think it was a big deal, whereas the AU's position on presidents running for third terms or changing the constitution to run for third terms is very clear. They're against it, whereas Mugabe is not, or it's really not clear. So there is that sort of disconnect. But otherwise, I don't think we can deny that he is thoroughly African, and he is, whether some people like him or not, a voice worth at least listening to, I think, well, on this continent.
Thank you very much, Anita, for that report.
Thank you.
To learn more about the summit, we are joined by Elastus Mwencha, the deputy chairperson for the AU Commission. Good evening, Mr. Mwencha. Mr. Mwencha, can you hear me?
Shaka, thank you very much.
Oh, you're most welcome, sir. How have you been?
Very well, and how have you been?
How would you characterize the AU summit from your vantage point?
Well, first of all, this is a regular summit. But this summit, of course, like any other summit, had a specific and items that were discussed and also reviewed a lot of programs that are going on in the African Union and also agreed on the way forward. Perhaps to start with, I should tell you that the summit looked at, you know, issues of development, particularly what is the summit also considered the issues of migration and how we should address really the triggers and the challenges that face our young men and women that are drowning in the Mediterranean. The summit looked at peace and security issues. The summit also looked at global issues. As you know, that at the General Assembly this year, they will be adopting the new goals on post-2015 development agenda, under which there will also be sustainable development goals. And as you know, the African Union has also drafted, which is very much in line with sustainable development goals. It's Agenda 2063. And so out of that, the summit has also developed first 10 years of implementation and the full of discussions, but also implementation activities and the way forward.
I'm afraid that we're experiencing some difficulties with the line, but you mentioned something very important, and that is the migrations, especially the Africans trying to cross the Mediterranean going to Europe. What specific resolutions did you come with in order to figure out, frankly, how to stop the forces that push?
The key area is, first of all, to look at how to create an environment that creates jobs, that gives space, especially for the young people, to participate in economic and also development. Because if you look at the young men and the women that are living in the continent, there is a lot of criminal element in it. Those that come and paint a very good picture, and give them, young people, false hopes, but then a lot of them end up dying even as they cross the Sahara before they even reach the Mediterranean. But we also looked at issues of the pull factors and also issues of human rights. But once these, people have been cheated and they are on the shores. They should be treated with dignity, with humanitarian issues, and that we should, as a first step, create a mechanism for giving good information at a... good standing so that we don't see these young men and women living in droves as they do.
I see. Final question. What about the more important issue of women empowerment? What did you resolve?
Sorry, the line is not so clear. Could you come again, please, Shaka?
I was talking about, did you resolve anything in particular the issue on the agenda, the important issue of women empowerment?
Yes, that was the theme of the summit. And with regards to women empowerment, the summit agreed to develop a scorecard that looks at various elements. And the skills, which is really the tool that would enable women to participate gainfully, economically, but also be empowered. Secondly, how the women should also access resources like land, like capital, but also how governance should also involve women, appointment of women in political positions, but also in management positions. So it was quite extensive in that area. But the key element is coming up with a scorecard that should enable countries to look at how they are performing in the various terms as far as women integration, women empowerment is concerned.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Mwencha. Let's stop right there. And I'd like to thank Mr. Elastus Mwencha, the Deputy Chairperson for the African Union Commission, for sharing his perspective of the summit with us today. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking site website Twitter. And we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOAAUSummit. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
The African Union was first envisioned at a 1999 summit in Libya. It later replaced the Organization of African Unity, which was created in 1963. The AU Constitution was entered into force in May 2001, and the group was formally established in July 2002. The African Union is a partnership between governments and all segments of African civil society, particularly women, youth, and the private sector. The African body has 54 member states, and its newest member is South Sudan, which became independent on July 2011. The only African state that is not a member is Morocco.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiu Ewart, and welcome back. And today we are talking about the significance of the African Union Summit held in Johannesburg. Our distinguished guests are Rosemary Segero, founder and chief executive of Hope for Tomorrow, an international non-government organization founded in 2008. Its goal is to provide education and advocacy support for human rights, women's rights, and the prevention of conflict and violence. And the Reverend Dr. Isaac Mwase, founding president of the Friends of Baptists in Zimbabwe, a nonprofit organization founded in 2002. Its mission is to support Baptists and the disadvantaged among the people of Zimbabwe as they deal with the economic challenges. He previously served as a professor of bioethics and philosophy at Tuskegee University in Alabama. Well, I have to say once again, Rosemary and Isaac, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
It's a pleasure to join you.
How does it feel to be on Straight Talk Africa?
It's fine. It's talking about African issues.
African issues. And I know that you have obviously been very, very assertive, especially with issues dealing with women's rights. I remember you were, in fact, taking on the chairperson of the African Union Commission herself, Dramini, Dr. Dramini Zuma. Yeah. And you seem to have reached an understanding of sorts that we are supposed to be working together.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So you're working together now?
No, we're not working together. We're still waiting and looking at the meeting in South Africa. They talked about women empowerment. Mm-hmm. We hope, as you know, African women are very powerful, and African women are the backbone of the families and the communities. So I believe if women are empowered from right from the rural areas up to the high level, that would be very important. We want to look at inclusion, all women.
In fact, I was looking at some World Bank studies and other academic studies which suggest that when you look at women as a market, for example, they actually rank the third in the world after China and India. Mm-hmm. And yet, society doesn't, frankly, seem to give them the kind of attention that they deserve. What do you think about the proceedings that went on in Johannesburg, the City of Gold?
The proceedings that went on in Johannesburg, they talked more of women and financial tools. I think women being empowered in Africa, getting resources to help themselves, mm-hmm. but getting into politics and being on the table. But we want all women, right from, because my focus is right in the rural areas, we want all women to be included. And that's why we focus on training and education with that. And then we give them the actual tools, which is financial, after mm-hmm. they are trained, mm-hmm. and then looking at vocational training, we train them. And then when you give them the money, the African women know what to do. They are women who have lived on the farm. They are women who know what they are doing. It's only a push, and that small push is alternative. What do we do to these women? What can we give them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about the idea by the chairperson, in fact, of the African Commission, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, who has talked about launching the mechanized handheld till, and actually announced that the handheld hoe, the traditional hoe that all of us have known and perhaps have used, mm-hmm. should in fact be discarded to the museum. The hoe that supports the average peasant African woman farmer.
So they wanted to take it to the
To the museum, because they need to tap into modern technology.
Modern technology.
Yeah, so that you can make the woman, peasant farmer, more productive.
Mr. Sheka, as I've said and I've told you, the African women just have the know-how. They just need that support. Taking a hoe and giving them alternative, that would be good. And the alternative is financial resources, electronics, machineries of farming. Mm. And at the end of the day, they'll need education for all that, even in financial education, the farming, the machineries. You know, as I say, African women don't need that. They just need a push. So even taking the hoes from them, we hope between now, we want to help women now. We want to empower women now. So women need empowerment and they need support. That's why I focus in the rural areas, looking at the really actual women, where the farmers are. Farmers are in the rural area. So if these women are supported financially, machinery, even if there's new technology, which is enterprise education. So we just want all women empowered.
It's very interesting, of course, that you mentioned rural women. There has been some criticism that African women who go to school, go to universities, get degrees and get very professional positions, you know, both locally and internationally, sometimes tend to be very elitist. They tend to be elitist and pretty much there is a sort of disconnect, critics say, yes, between them and the rural woman that you are talking about.
Yes.
Is that your experience from what you have been doing?
I was born in Kenya, in the rural area.
Where specifically?
In Western Kenya, Kakamega.
And Kakamega, I know, very beautiful place by Mount Elgon.
I was born in Kakamega. Mm-hmm. I've grew up on the farm. My mother is still on the farm, doing what she used to do, potatoes, cassava, and everything, keeping chicken. So all these...
And bananas.
You can never get them out of them. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about going to do research for women who have lived on the farm, and here you're trying to say we empower them, how are we empowering them? So many people have intended, even investors, don't think there's something in the rural area. That's why I'm focusing more on rural area and on agriculture that they know very well more than anything else.
Very interesting, Rosemary. Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. We have to go and come back to you later. You're tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jallo. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the very passionate feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week.
In our letter of the week, Liberator Edgar Ogutu from Nairobi in Kenya writes, "As a young African, I feel disappointed by the representatives of the African Union who have for many years played the role of a protectorate. The AU continues its engagement with corrupt and imputative presidents while ignoring the progressive social and youth movements that carry the agenda of the majority. Where is my voice? He asked.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa. Coming to you live from Washington, once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The African Union Summit ended Tuesday in Johannesburg with its members pledging to fulfill Agenda 2063, a blueprint for future development of the continent. The two-day gathering was somewhat overshadowed by the International Criminal Court's attempt to arrest Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir. Some say that the AU's primary agenda, centering on women's empowerment, the Continental Free Trade Proposal, and finding new funding for AU operations, found little traction. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking how successful was the AU summit in addressing the issues that are important to you? Well, before I dive into your responses, let me first say thanks for using all our social media platform to send in your thoughts. Let's begin with a comment from Ojuka Obote from Tororo in Uganda, who writes, "The AU should not only be against military takeovers. It should be against all forms of non-democratic tendencies, such as constitutional amendments to extend presidential terms, oppression, corruption, and human rights abuses." Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOAAUSummit. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. Let's go to a tweet right now from Collins Upson from right here in the United States, who writes, "The African Union is not effective in any form in Africa. Boko Haram is still growing strong, killing the innocent every day." That's what he writes. We are going to look at another tweet, this time from Boubacar Ndiaye, and he doesn't say where he's from, but I think he might be from the Gambia. He says, "I believe the AU had to work harder to fight for unity throughout the continent by strengthening government ties among countries." Well, Shaka, lots of thoughts. Your take on these ones.
Very interesting. What about Isaac, the good reverend, your reaction to that?
It's good to find that people are engaged in following what their leaders are doing. Of course, leadership is very important. Mm-hmm. The tone is set by the objectives that leaders embrace. So we've got to listen very closely to what they're saying and also look at what they are doing. Now, if you look at the declarations coming out of African leadership, the declarations make good reading, but a lot of those who follow what African leaders are doing, they find that there is a gap between proclamation and the reality in their lives.
So do you agree with some observers who say that African leaders at such summits, frankly, tend to talk the talk without perhaps walking the talk?
Well, I might be inclined to agree with them, but it has been the case for leaders that action follows declaration.
Yes.
For the African leaders, we they are at a stage in which they are trying to get their articulation right.
Yes.
As they get their articulation right, there has to be enough pressure on them internally in determining the fate of the future of their countries and their populations, so that the gap between proclamation and implementation is narrowed. If you look at history, you're going to find that it takes a while in order for society to experience changes.
Well, change, of course, is a process.
Exactly.
Not an incident or an event.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, I find that it is encouraging that the leaders are still expressing aspirations that have been dear to Africans for a long time.
Thank you. Well, Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with the audience, please?
Yes, indeed, Shaka. We'll move on to a posting from Prosper Atit Sogbui from Accra in Ghana, who writes that the African Union is not effective because of the subgroupings we have in Africa. Until we realize this and close down all the groupings so that the AU can function strongly, we'll keep seeing our people getting killed. The organization can't do anything to clamp down on terrorism. The youth of Africa are calling on the leaders of Africa to sit up and do what is right. Stop the infighting. We need peace, unity, and love in Africa. God help us all. Well, that's a posting from Prosper. Let's take a look at another Facebook comment, this time from Okwondu Obina in Bani Walid in Libya, who writes, "The AU hasn't done anything, and I am seriously disappointed in them, period." Well, Shaka and guests, that's a pretty strong statement, short but very strong. Your take on these ones?
Very interesting indeed. Your reaction, Rosemary, to that. The AU hasn't done anything. Sure, it has done a lot of things, a lot of good things. For example, I can say for sure that they have this position that they do not recognize military coups anymore. Mm-hmm. And they don't. Yeah. They have actually, when you come to that, they have walked the walk. Shouldn't they, perhaps, as Obote from Uganda earlier suggested, that maybe they should go even further, make sure that they take stands at situations, frankly, that they deem to be undemocratic. Rigged elections, for example. Presidents who are sworn into power to defend, protect, and preserve a constitution, but they turn around and amend it for their personal and political interests. Should the AU, in fact, take a stand that is the moral equivalent of a military coup? Your reaction?
Mr. Shaka, what you're saying, my organization wrote an executive summary to President Obama at the African Union, mm-hmm. which was peace and stability in Africa, and then empowerment of women, and then...
What do you mean you wrote to President Obama at the African Union?
At the African USA Summit last year.
The Leadership Summit last year.
Looking at what is being talked with the young people here, looking at stability. Unless we have peace and stability in Africa, which they need to be talking about, because we have young people who are actors of violence, and this is where the young people are victims, because even if the leader said we continue, the other people don't come, the young people who want peace, stability, and leadership. So what we should look at, and what the African Union should be looking at, is peace and stability. Looking at Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, you saw what happened in Kenya. All that, you don't get to a country and get what is happening in South Sudan, Burundi. If we get countries in order with stability, which we don't see them and talk so much, there is ongoing in Burundi, South Sudan, everywhere in Africa. So I think they should look at peace and security, and looking at how to empower these young people who are the really actors. And you hear them say, nobody is giving them attention. That's why I say it in what I'm saying, that let them be given in support, understood to discuss things with the leaders. What they are doing online is very, very important, because that's what we need and what the leaders need to be talking about, and not about this ICC. We need to look at these young people and the women and see how the development will go. I think that young people were left out into the discussion.
But someone might say, Rosemary, wait a minute, they should perhaps also talk about the ICC, because after all, no one forced the African founding signatories to sign the Rome Statute of 2002. They signed it precisely because they knew it could add some value. And it has been good for African leaders so long as it went after their political opponents or their rebels. The problem arose when it came to target presidents who are in power. It was like fire had come in the bedroom. That's really the problem. We'll come back to that. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, I think that will do it for today's social media segment. Thanks to our guests for weighing in. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, should African leaders have term limits? Many appear reluctant to relinquish power when their terms are nearing an end. That and more next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
A reminder that you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. And to participate in our program, please call us at 202-619-3111. Your country code is 1. Well, you heard it all, of course, and I'm sure that the Reverend Isaac Mwase, you're ready to jump in.
Yes, sir. There was one response that said that the African Union is not doing anything. It shows that somebody really hasn't been following what the African Union has been doing. If you go on the website of the African Union, you're going to find that it is setting up the mechanisms that the continent needs in order to be able to address the challenges that the continent has been facing. And African heads of state are seeking to act as a team, in concert, to be able to address those challenges. Because they recognize that individually, they are not going to be able to handle them. But together, they are going to be able to make the continent a factor in the global dynamic. So, you know, you mentioned about the issue about
military coups.
No, about President Omar al-Bashir.
Al-Bashir, yes.
Participation in the AU. These are African heads of state that are recognizing that we are dealing with an international community that wants to set the agenda for African leaders. When African leaders are saying that we are going to set our own agenda, and when it comes to the ICC, if countries that are not even signatures are trying to put pressure on African governments to do what they themselves are not willing to do for themselves.
For example, can you name names?
I'm not going to name any names.
Why don't you say the United States, for example?
I think people can be able to understand the position that African leaders might have.
I think that follows these
affairs.
If you have the facts, you should put them on the table. That is why we are right here on this platform.
Yeah.
So empower people
exactly
with information.
Indeed. So African heads of state are going to say, if you look at the operations of the ICC, the ICC has targeted none but African leaders. And so the African heads of state have circled wagons. While they are also trying to deal. Now, I'm not saying that it's right.
Yeah, but Isaac, when you look at the 9 cases, frankly, at the ICC, at the Hague, 6 of them were referred to the Hague by African leaders themselves. By African leaders themselves. And then the Kenyan case was referred there precisely because the Kenyan parliament failed to deal with the issue. And then you have the 2 others which have been referred there by the UN Security Council, in particular Sudan and Libya.
Yeah, you have to understand, you have to look at what the African heads of state are actually doing. It's one thing to refer, to start a process. It's something else to make a decision and then to actually follow through with the decision. So you look at what actually happened in South Africa at the 25th summit. It tells you that the African heads of state have made a decision. Combined sovereignty is going to strengthen their hand in dealing with the international community.
Unfortunately, there's no democracy in Studio 52. If the producer says you have to go for a break, you have to go. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. Participate in our discussion. Please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
There are 4 major organs of the African Union. Number 1, Assembly, which is the supreme organ of the AU and is composed of heads of state and governments or their representatives. It meets at least once a year to monitor the group's priorities and policies. A 2/3 majority is needed to pass a resolution. A simple majority can pass a procedural matter. Number 2, the Executive Council, which consists of ministers of foreign affairs and meets at least twice a year. It primarily determines the issues that are submitted to the Assembly and monitors implementations of initiatives. Number 3, the Pan-African Parliament, which has consultative and advisory powers only, but with the aim of ultimately evolving into an institution with full legislative powers. Finally, the Commission. It's the permanent secretariat of the Union, comprised of a chairperson, a deputy, and 8 commissioners. They are responsible for peace and security, political affairs, infrastructure, technology, and agriculture. The Commission reports to the Executive Council.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Samuel from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shaka Sali. How are you?
I am hugely terrific. Do I still need a visa, by the way, to access Kabale, the town where I come from, in southwestern Uganda?
No, you are free to come without a visa. I'm around, I'll let you come.
Around the Ruti area?
I'm around the Ruti area. You are free to come.
Thank you. What is your question?
My question goes to Rosemary. Madam Rosemary, how can African Union help and compel the European Union to check the influx of migration in the Mediterranean Sea? Did the proceedings in South Africa tackle correctly the affirmative action for women empowerment and democratic governance in African countries? Thank you, Shaka.
Thank you very much. Go for it, Rosemary.
It was about the migration.
Yes.
The Mediterranean Sea. I think what they should be talking about now is about transforming people and empowering people, because people are fleeing in their countries because of lack of jobs, because of poverty. And what they should be talking about, what can we do? What is the model that we can use to transform people instead of running to America, running to other countries? That's why many people have perished, because of poverty. They would better go out and save the rest of the families than staying home, and then they get into poverty. That's why even if we have this terrorism and other things, because everybody's fleeing. So we want the African Union, they would have focused more on fighting poverty in Africa, and this is where the migration is coming. People are not just running from their homes. It's all about poverty.
The forces that push and the forces that pull.
Yes.
Earlier you touched on a very interesting point. You talked about being born in Kakamega.
Yes.
On the foothills of Mount Elgon.
Yeah.
And you talked about how very hardworking your parents were, raised you up with that hall. All of us, pretty much, were raised, frankly, because of that hall.
Yes.
We have enormous resources. If you do your research, you'll find that Africa is not a poor continent.
It's not.
On the contrary. It is one of the wealthiest continents on this planet Earth. What happened to our leaders? How come they don't have the values that are reflected in your parents and my parents, so that they can, frankly, do their job, their role of being leaders to their own people? We have resources. You talk about the African Union. Yes, the African Union has the potential to do a lot of good things for Africa. But frankly, there are a lot of people who will say, you know what? It is a club, frankly, for the leaders, for the elite. It has no connection with the ordinary African person. As a matter of fact, when you go to the continent and you ask ordinary people, even on the streets, about African Union, not very many people, frankly, know what it is. Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about the African Union having the capacity, yes. Does it have the will? Look at the building, the beautiful building in Addis Ababa, with love from Beijing,
yes. Yeah.
Not from the African people.
No.
Do you think the Chinese gave that building for nothing?
For nothing.
More than 75% of the budget that runs the African Union comes from without Africa.
Yeah.
There is a saying, my friend, that whoever pays the piper calls the tune.
You're right, Shaka, that there is a need for leaders in the African Union. And African leaders at all levels of society to take matters into their own hands and to ensure that increasingly we have a sense of self-determination. The will among the leaders to act in ways that are going to advance the interests of the masses is a function of the engagement of those people. And it's not going to be one person here, one person there expressing dissatisfaction.
Mm.
Communities in the country have to be engaged in the political processes.
Let's go to your country, Zimbabwe.
Yes.
You have had one leader.
Yes.
Since April 18, 1980.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
President Robert Gabriel Mugabe right now is in his 36th year of ruling your country. Is it because, as some people have suggested, that he is a very unique individual?
He is.
Very unique?
Yes.
What makes him unique?
He's the only one who has managed that feat. Now, the question is, given the fact that he's been in power all this time, how does the Zimbabwean community engage in ways that are going to ensure that the country participates in the aspirations that have been articulated by the AU in Vision 2064? We in the diaspora here in the United States are beginning to take steps to get ourselves organized so that in nonpartisan ways we can serve to provide that voice of reason that says we want our leaders to act in the interests of everybody.
Well,
you know very well that some of our leaders in the corporations in Zimbabwe have failed their workers, they've failed their communities. I mean, imagine somebody getting $300,000 a month who is the leader of a corporation with employees who don't have a salary.
So maybe the
that has to change.
Maybe the next president of Zimbabwe could, in fact, be Dr. Grace Mugabe.
Well,
is she also unique, a very unique individual with unique skills? Let's go to the lifeline of the show and come back to you. Let's go to Adema from Tanzania. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Bwana Shaka Sali.
Unfortunately, I happen not to be a Bwana. I am a Ndugu. Ndugu Adema.
Asante sana. Thank you very much, Ndugu Shaka Sali.
Asante vile vile. Go for it.
And the Mama Segero and the Reverend. Now, I just want to contribute something.
You have a minute.
Oh, now, concerning Mama Segero's the suggestion of the African Union to help the common person.
Go ahead.
For information, me, I am born from a place called Tororo. That's almost a 1 hour's drive to Kakamega.
Uganda.
And yeah, exactly.
Near Maraba.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, Maraba, Malaba. Now, what Mama Segero is talking about, the African Union issue is the political, and the issue is to solve military problems and the political issues. But the common person on the ground, the suffering child, a person who's HIV positive, the hungry child, most people in Africa, even the common person, doesn't know even what African Union is. This is the issue of the certain class of people. And Mama Segero, for your information, right now as we talk in Kakamega, there are people who are sleeping hungry.
Thank you. Thank you, please. Just give her an opportunity to respond to you, Adema, please. Could you please respond to her? You have about 30 seconds.
My mic is not...
You can't hear?
I can't
well,
hear.
Well, yeah, let's talk about Grace, Dr. Grace Mugabe.
Yes, I don't know who is going to be the next leader in Zimbabwe. What I know is that the Zimbabwean community has to be engaged and has to participate in the process. For those of us who are here in the United States, our task is to ensure that our participation in the development of the country is in shaping those policies that will ensure constructive engagement with the
Unfortunately, with the good professor of philosophy, time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Rosemary Segero, founder and chief executive of Hope for Tomorrow, and Reverend Dr. Isaac Mwase, founding president of the Friends of Baptist in Zimbabwe. Thanks to our field stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, Today Break Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.